Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
There are a lot of things that matter to me: family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
And now, your main event. Introducing the hosts of Wrestling with Freddy, Jeff Dye, and Freddy Prinze Jr.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Wrestling with Freddy, a.k.a. Wrestling with Friends. The news of the week. Our inside man, investigative reporter Mr. Jeff Dye, infiltrated successfully, I might add, the Jericho Cruise under the guise of stand-up comedy. You laughed. Now they know that you're here and it's me. Now they know that I'm the voice and it's not the real guy, though, man.
I don't know that.
You made me break. Anyway, we're going to get to that and Monday Night Raw all on the brand new episode of Wrestling with Freddy. Worst promo ever.
No, it's great. It's fine. I loved it.
It's like, I love getting
infiltrating under the skies of stand-up comedy is perfect.
Look, I hate boats, so I'm never going to be on the Jericho Cruise. When they do, like, the Jericho flight, you know, like, on a nice comfy plane, or if they do, like, Jericho at the park, like they do Shakespeare in the park, right? And no, they do Shakespeare in the park. It's all theater. When they do, like, Jericho at Dodger Stadium, I'm there, man. But I don't do boats. I don't like being surrounded by water like that and not... and be stuck with family that I don't want to be with, or people, or anyone, right? It's like a Thanksgiving dinner that lasts for 3 days. I can't handle it. I love the idea of the Jericho Cruise. And every time I know someone who goes, I get jealous. This year, I knew three of y'all, you, Ryan Nemeth, and Brad Williams, all who took amazing photos and had amazing experiences. Jeff, tell me what city you started in. How did you even infiltrate the Jericho Cruise? How did you board the boat? Was it with a grappling hook? Were you in disguise? Did you take someone out, get their invitation, and go tell me the whole process?
So we docked in Miami, and I gotta say, before I did stand-up comedy, like before like I did any comedy on the boat, everyone was trying to figure out who I am and why I'm there. Because these are the biggest wrestling fans in the world. Like, imagine being willing to love something so much, to love a show or a sport or something, to love it so much that you're willing to stay on a boat with, you know, just like in the middle of the Bahamas with the people you like, that like they're literally the most passionate diehard wrestling fans in the world. You're scraping off the top of the most insane loyal wrestling fans all on a boat. Yeah.
The cream of the
crop. It was pretty fascinating. But since I'm 6'4", everyone's trying to figure out, like, who is this guy? We would know this wrestler, you know, because you got Ring of Honor, you've got the obviously AEW guys. There's a lot of like independent guys that are on the boat. There's promoters. So everyone's trying to like size each other up, and they're the most loyal fans in the world. So they're mad at themselves for not knowing who I am.
Sure.
And all of the wrestlers too, they don't know who I am either. So they're even going like, who is this tall guy that's walking around with Brad Williams? So then I'll admit, I just like literally just shadowed Brad Williams everywhere he went. I just kind of like walked around with him because I just felt so like out of place. And then after the first night of doing stand-up comedy, all the wrestlers come to the comedy shows. I didn't know that. So like after that night, it was like, oh, dude, we all said that was great. Let's be friends. It was like, so then I became friends. The people I hung with the most.
Oh, they must have been eating you up. Yeah, they must have loved you.
It was so fun. We had such a good time. Also, Ryan Nemeth is so funny.
Oh, dude, he's the best, man. I love
him. He did stand-up twice on the boat. He's got a great personality. He's very, very funny. He, like, knows his own voice. He has his, like, I was so, so impressed with that guy. He did stand-up two times, and both times.
He comes over to my house for, like not Dungeons & Dragons, but, like, versions of that. Mm-hmm. And everybody's doing, like, characters and voices and improv. And it's all, like, actors and, like, stand-up comics and people who are legit like talented at this, and he hangs with everybody, man. And he just goes into these like characters that are all him. They're not these like big characters. So he just plays it way straight and kills it. I love Ryan, man. He's a good dude too.
Also in the ring, I was laughing after getting to know him. Like I was laughing at everything he would do in the ring because he plays the hunk, and he had all these like good like wrestling. If you guys don't know who we're talking about, just in case, it's Dolph Ziggler's brother. But
the Hollywood hunk from AEW.
He's so, so, so good. And his stand-up was perfect for the boat, like as far as like all wrestling fans. So they're going to get each little reference that he did. He was doing references I didn't even really understand, but he's just so funny and so great. I was like, I'm upset. You guys know me well enough now. You know that who are my favorite guys? The big giant guys, right? So yeah. I literally every set was.
You're a biggest.
Exactly. They're my favorite. I'm like Vince. So during my sets, I kept calling out Wardlow. Being like, that's my guy. This is the guy that should say. And then after the second night of comedy, he like found me backstage. He's like, hey man, you're the best. And so then we became buddies, which was really cool. I love Wardlow, who also had like a big couple weeks in wrestling. He's back.
Yeah,
cut his hair off, challenges Samoa Joe. It looks like they're setting up for that, which will be awesome. But yeah, so like these are all the guys I hung with. Wardlow.
Did Wardlow beat you up?
No, I wish. I wanted to.
He didn't power slam you twice and then stand on your chest?
No, I was trying to get him to power bomb me into the pool or something, but nobody would let it happen. Nobody was allowing it.
All right. Okay, continue. Sorry. Continue.
So Wardlow, Captain, who is amazing, like a super nice guy and like fun to hang out with.
I don't know the Captain. Who's the Captain?
Sean Dean.
I'm going to check him out.
He's awesome and super nice. And then the Gun Boys, or AKA as Danhausen calls them, the Ass Boys. I hung out with them almost every night because they're like old school wrestlers. So
Did you tell them I love their dad with all my heart and soul?
Let me put a pin in that for a second. But those guys they're like old wrestlers. They just want to drink and party and hang and laugh and goof off. They're in character the whole time they're walking around the boat. People are calling them ass boys, and they're going, shut up. They were just like so perfect. And then Flip Gordon, that was kind of like my crew was all those guys. And Flip Gordon, nice guy. And Wardlow and Flip Gordon brought their fiancés. I don't know if it's their wives or fiancés, but so they were in the group. It was very fun to just pal around with them.
Sexy.
It was awesome. Really cool group. What I was going to say that I wanted to put a pin in, dude, Freddie, everyone loves you on the boat. Like everyone. I would go, oh, I'm on the podcast.
I wish I wasn't scared of, but what's it called when you're boat phobic? That sounds weird. What is it like? What is the phobia of boats? Like, I don't like boats, man. I just don't like boats. I would love to go. Brad showed me a freaking video. Brad Williams, for those of you who don't know, is a dwarf stand-up comic. And there was a dwarf professional wrestler when I worked at WWE named Dylan. We called him Swags, but everyone else called him Hornswoggle. He was the leprechaun, and he would hide under the ring. And sometimes, like, old school wrestlers would prank him. Like, Fit Finley one time Dylan is afraid of chickens the way I'm afraid of boats. And Fit Finley had a chicken under the ring, and Dylan couldn't come out because it was a live show. So he's just under there fighting with a chicken that's trying to cut his throat. So I love Dylan, man. I was the one who got him the first time to get his character to speak, and he actually rapped to Snoop Dogg. I told the story in season one. And yeah, he was actually good at rapping. And Brad sends me this video of him and Dylan getting in each other's face, and Dylan hits him with the double birds. And I'm like, you just disrespect my boy, Brad Williams. I'm watching the video thinking this. And Dylan's character is like, damn right I did. Screw this guy. And then Williams isn't having it and just hits him with a Stone Cold Stunner. Bob-omskis.
It was amazing.
I was like, if I was on this boat, I would be having so much fun right now, man.
I don't want to like say anything that's going to make the wrestlers who might listen to this get mad at me. But arguably the biggest pop of the entire cruise ship was when Brad ran down and got into Hornswoggle's face. And they were building it all week. All week he kept, like, during the Q&A, Brad would talk trash about Hornswoggle. Hornswoggle would talk trash about Brad. And then for that moment to happen.
Oh, so the crowd on the boat was already like revved up. Yes, and hyped.
And like they would just do it subtly. They would just kept being like, they could make little jokes like, there can't be two dwarfs on the boat. Or Brad would like, Jericho would answer some question, and then Brad during it's the Q&A, Brad
like
would
an
go,
old Western. This boat's not big enough for the two of us.
So when he ran down, like, and this is what I said might be controversial, but I think it might have been the biggest pop of the week.
They're all there just to have fun and make a book.
It was amazing. People were so into it and go, what? They couldn't believe that Brad was also so, like, Brad is so into wrestling and loves wrestling so much. He didn't even care about comedy the whole week. All of his jokes were just about wrestlers. He spent on the last night of comedy, he had like another face-off against Hornswoggle, like actually on stage. It wasn't even about comedy for Brad. Brad is like a wrestler now. He just was just doing wrestling.
He's such a hardcore fan. He loves it so much, man. And he loves wrestlers.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles, because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why do you think stand-up comics and wrestlers get along so well? Because it's like the same art form, right?
Exactly. There's so much overlap. The travel, the crummy bookers, the slimy bookers, the bad shows, the good shows. There's a lot of overlap for sure. But I got to hang out with Curt Hawkins and...
Matt Cardona, man.
Matt Cardona,
Friend of the show. Former guest, friend of the show. I wrote for those guys when I worked in WWE. I got there like right after they got pulled up.
I only know him as Zack Ryder, but Matty Cardona, it was, and those guys love you too. Those guys were saying really nice things about you too.
They're good dudes, man. So we've established that you assume the disguise of a professional wrestler and piqued the interest of many as you entered the boat. What was your wrestling name? What was your persona as you boarded?
Well, I just stayed incognito, tried to blend in, but you know, it's so Jeff Jackpot Jeff Die.
Oh, Jeff Jackpot died.
Yeah, Jeff Jackpot dies on the board.
So did anyone on the boat at any point, like from far away, go, Jackpot, as you walked by?
Nope, didn't get no love. Okay. And I'll be honest, and so if anyone's listening that was on the Jericho Crows, I felt like people were not Jeff Die fans. So the first night I came out and all the wrestling fans are just like looking at me like, all right, who is he? Because it felt like I was like a plus one for a family vacation or something. Like everyone's just trying to figure out like, why is he here? Who is this guy? And then after the second night of comedy, one of the wrestling fans in the elevator went, well, you're over. And I was like, oh, that's nice to fit. Like, nice to hear that like I'm finally like, oh, but I don't know if it's just my imagination, but it just felt so... I felt like a heel or something on the boat. I couldn't win.
He said you're over. Why do you still feel just the first night, you mean, or overall?
Yeah, it took a while to like win over to these wrestling
fans. You had to
fans.
Earn it. Look, you're a handsome guy. You're good looking. And people are probably being nice to you. So they're like, yo, this is good looking guy. He's tall, super funny, handsome. Man, screw this guy. And then you start doing your stuff and they're like, oh, he's kind of disarming me. He's killing me with kindness, man. He's kind of crapping not just on me, but on him and on all of us at the same time. All right, yeah, okay, I like this guy. So you earned it. It's always better to earn respect than to be given respect. Respect that is given can be taken away. Respect that is earned is yours forever.
I'm palling around with a guy who's been on the boat like four times, you know, so everyone on the boat already knows Brad. Like they already know Brad Williams and he's a dwarf. So he's like so recognizable and he's so lovable and funny. So like literally everywhere I go, they're like,
he's like, you can't be in a bad mood when you see a dwarf. He's like, no matter where you are.
Everyone's going, hey, Brad, hey, Brad. And even after like the first show, like, hey, Brad, you were so funny last night. So great. And I'm his like lanky 6'4" friend just standing by him.
Like,
what about me, dude?
Hey, Jackpot. This one file
all salty and sour barely acknowledge me, but it was fun. Super, super fun. I'm so, so happy that I went. Also, like, wrestlers are so fun. Like, they're their own kind of thing.
They go too hard for me. I was always hanging with the ones that laid low. They can go so hard though, man. They would have like the WrestleMania parties and all the young wrestlers, man, all the divas, they'd be like, come hang, dance. And they would be safe to dance with. Like they were all cool like that. But I'd literally be looking at them and like, oh, what? It's midnight. I'm dead. Like I'm going to bed. And they're like, no, you could go all night. I'm like, no, I cannot. So for me, it was more like the MVPs, the R-Truths, Jerry Briscoe's, Bruce Pritchard's. Like we would lay low in one of our hotel rooms and just chill out and kick back and tell stories and then pass out, man.
Well, I think it's kind of half and half. So like half of the wrestlers would be out trying to figure out what's going on, trying to like make plans, like trying to hey, let's go see this band. And then let's go see this band. And let's go to the casino. But there was the other half that literally.
There's a casino on the boat?
Oh, yeah, dude. That's the biggest part of these boats is they make tons of money.
Bro, I really want to go on this boat.
If you don't like it, you can just stay in your cabin. Because a lot of the wrestlers would just lay low. Like a lot of the wrestlers would just go work out and then they take their girl to this private area.
I'm still on a boat that's surrounded by water, though. See, that's the part.
That's true.
Maybe I can meet you in the Bahamas. I'll fly out to the Bahamas, meet your ass there.
Yeah,
and then
dock.
Get on the boat while it's docked. And then we can have a tag team match, me and you versus the ass boys.
That would be amazing. I was, it was so funny. Like,
and then their dad can save, he could do a run in and save me from almost utter the jaws of defeat.
Mark Henry was on the boat. He was super cool. I love super Mark. Chill.
He's a good man, dude. I know Mark really well. I used to shield him on the planes when he'd always say, "Hey, lean forward," and I'd lean forward so people couldn't see what he was watching on his phone.
Oh, that's funny.
Because it was inappropriate. Yeah, and then by like month six that I was there, he didn't even care. He's sitting in the aisle seat. He's like, "Yeah, whatever."
Yeah. He's a freaking such a cool, like, that's like the king of mellow. Mark Henry was just chill. Yeah, he was awesome.
I've done
his
show a couple times. I always got along real well with the man. He was just super cool. He was one of the guys that, like, once I kind of earned a little respect, he was real good to me, man. But he makes you earn it. He's an old school guy, man.
Yeah, he's awesome. And then you saw the photos that Jericho did, Jericho Hausen, which was awesome.
That was crazy, dude. It's like, here's why it works, okay? And it shouldn't work, and it doesn't work. And I'm not saying it does, but it does. Because it's this, like, alt-universe Marvel comic kind of thing. Anything that happens on the boat stays on the boat. So it's like that storyline never leaves the Jericho right. cruise. But a year later, I don't know if they do it twice a year or once a year, but a year later, it could pick up again as if it just happened yesterday in that universe. And it makes me so jealous because you could literally just do anything in a match and it kind of works because even if it's not supposed to, hey man, we're on a cruise. Exactly. We're on a cruise. They're jumping off a top turnbuckle into a ring that's on a boat that's in the ocean. Like, let's just see what happens.
There was so much fun, silly stuff like that because, you know, the boat is moving. And we're also, like, in a storm at one
Can
point.
Can you
during,
feel it? Can you feel it?
Oh, you feel moving? It move. Especially on this one because there was a storm out there. So that's why we're moving a lot. You can't have guys on a boat wrestling when the ring is moving and the boat is moving. Oh, my God. So they're a little cautious of that. Also, too, the wrestlers aren't being paid any extra if they're under AEW contract. So that's why there's so many great wrestlers on this boat is because they're all under, like, basically salary for AEW. So they're all not getting paid any extra. It's just part of their check that they get every 2 weeks. So that's another reason they're not, like, trying to do too many crazy things. Three, it's not televised. So the wrestlers are like, you know, what am I doing? There's not going to be – I don't want to – hurt, you know, I saw one time there wasn't even a bump for the first two matches. Like, they were just trying to, like, do, like, things. That's they did a awesome. Lot of, like, paper, rock, scissor match, you know, like, which was really funny.
That's the worst. But on a boat, it's great.
The Acclaimed just kept picking scissors, which was so funny. Like, no matter how, that was really,
that's
really good.
That's actually really, really good.
Eddie in Kingston and another guy just had, like, a dance off, which was great. I was like, there was just so many, like, fun, creative things to do because they didn't want to, like, get anybody hurt or anything.
I heard Eddie beat Ryan's ass in a match, I think, on the first night, right?
Yep.
The Hollywood.
I think that was actually a dance off too. Like, that was the dance-off one, is Eddie Kingston won a dance-off thing. It was just such a fun, silly thing. And also, like, Jericho dressed up as Orange Cassidy one year and came out and did the same thing as that. And then the same thing as Danhausen.
It's like freaking summer camp.
Fun. Yeah.
Where they'd have, like, the night before the last night of camp and they'd do, like, the talent show and all the cabins would do their thing. Like, it's literally, like, this little alt-universe where you can just get away with all that.
It was awesome. And also, I was a little disappointed they let Matt Cardona win again. He was like the Oceanic defending.
Why would Matt Cardona lose?
Well, here's the thing. They have a
He's
belt.
One of the greatest champions in the world.
That's the Oceanic Jericho Cruise Championship.
Yeah, and it belongs to Matt Cardona.
Yeah, he does, because he didn't lose. He retained, and I was a little...
Damn right he didn't lose.
I thought the good guy would win.
Nah, whoa. First of all, Matt Cardona is the good guy. So the good guy won.
He was straight flipping up. The crowd off, Freddie. I don't know if that's a good guy.
It's reactionary. I've never seen a face more baby than the face of Matt Cardona. And I'm on the record right now saying that. So screw everybody that booed him. And if you had a problem with him, Jeff, screw you too, baby.
No, I'm happy for him. I'm glad I was fine with whatever happened. But I was shocked that they let a bad guy win, you know?
Tengo
diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you infiltrated it. You successfully gathered the intel. What about exfiltration? How did the cruise end?
The end was, you know, just like the beginning. Everyone had a good time. Everyone had fun. Everyone was a little banged up and hurt. Or not hurt, but like just from all the drinking. Half price drinks at the casino. It was a tough one. Everyone's sunburnt and exhausted and not excited to get off the boat. If they'd have told me I had to stay on there for 10 more days, I'd have been like, yep, that's fine. It was that much. I had that much
you
fun.
You really could rock it like that.
The only bad part was, I'll say, is that you don't get text messages. They kind of like pop through every once in a while, and then you'd send one. You'd have to keep saying, try again, because this.
It was tough. Yeah, it was tough communicating with you for sure.
So if someone sends me a video, if someone sends me an audio message, if someone sends me like a GIF, I can't get it. All I get is like an occasional green text that pops up if it made it through. And so that was cut off because it was my 40th birthday on the boat. And so my birthday was February 4th. And so,
bro, happy birthday, man.
Thank you very much.
What the hell? I didn't even know. I'm the worst friend ever. I'm sorry, bro. Happy birthday. I'm buy some.
I like that. I'll take that. Nice. No, but to get a lot of text, people were saying, I'm sending you, you know, birthday text.
And
I'm
like, of course.
So that was a tough part. But other than that, I mean, I could have stayed out there forever. It was super fun. Oh, here's a funny thing that happened. The comedy show was in a wrestling ring, right? They made a wrestling ring that we told jokes in, but it was a full-size wrestling ring. And I'm like a kid. I want to get in there and play. I want to like do all this stuff, but you know, I'm the comedian. They're not supposed to do that. So I was like, my first set, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come out like Stone Cold. I'm going to get up on the top turnbuckle. I'm going to go like that to the crowd and then have Brad Williams shoot me drinks that I can clank and like drink like Stone Cold. They didn't know I was going to do that. And then the crowd is like they're well behaved, just kind of like in like comedy show mode, like in a nice theater.
I was about to say, this is why everyone was like, yo, who is this guy? Exactly. He came out all hostile, bro.
And it was so, it was so clunky because I missed the first one. Brad threw me the first one and I missed it. So they're all going, he missed it. You know, plus it like didn't look as smooth as like when Stone Cold does it, obviously. And then I did it with Truly's instead of like Budweiser's.
That's actually funny.
And that was like the opening of my whole thing.
That's, bro, everyone hated you. Yeah. Everybody hated you.
It was terrible. Also, like I did the whole set basically wet because all the Truly's go down your chin and mouth and like chest.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
But the photos of it, like the photos of me slapping the beers, the Truly's together and sporting, it makes it look like it was the hottest spot of the week because it's just a still frame image. But it was pretty funny.
Jeff, the timing of this podcast is so amazing. I promise you, we did not edit this. For you to start the podcast off with, yeah, it was tough, man. Like the first... The first night was weird. I didn't feel like the crowd was connecting to me. I just didn't know if they liked me. It felt like genuinely like they didn't like me. Here's the guy that's with Brad Williams, the guy we love. He makes everybody, it's Jeff Dye. And then 15 minutes later, so I came out on stage the first night, flipped everybody off, threw beer, spilled beer all over the place. So it smelled like shit in there. It was gone. It was awesome, man. The photos were great. They were so, the photos were so good.
I couldn't miss that opportunity.
Why did everybody hate me?
He's like, you want to be like when you have a whole ring to yourself. Like, I mean, like it's not very.
You got to take that heat though. If you're going to come in hot like that, man, you got to take it. Do you think you caught the wrestling plague of 2023?
I think that might be what's going on. Yeah.
Are you patient zero?
No.
Do we actually have to
maybe
put
I
you
am.
Down?
Yeah. Maybe I got that whole boat.
You're the monkey from Outbreak that got Dustin Hoffman sick. I don't think that's how that movie
That monkey's
went.
Famous. That monkey's cool.
Yeah, that monkey was on Friends. Monkey
it's cool
was
to
in
be that monkey.
You'd probably own a monkey if you could.
I would.
My dad bought my mom a monkey in the 70s as
kidding.
A pet. No, dude. And after he died, the monkey got like this sounds like it should be a sad story, but it's not. After my dad died, it like really hit the monkey hard, man. I feel so stupid saying these words. Bro, this is all legit. I swear. I feel so dumb saying this. I've never said this before. So it hit the monkey really hard. I'm sorry for laughing.
He's dealing with
and
it.
And he was like, he was depressed, like for real, man. My mom was
telling
me.
He's pacing around smoking. Oh, God. No one realizes how hard this is for me, too, you know?
That's right. He was close with him. Then he realized they were my dad's old cigarettes and it hurt even more. He's like, oh, God. Yeah,
exactly.
He's I remember when he old bought these. Around. Old flannel shirt. Still smells like him.
Wait, so who buys a monkey for their spouse? That's a terrible gift.
This was the 70s and he did a lot of drugs. And, you know, and so she said, hey, probably one night she said, I want a monkey. He goes, yeah, here's a monkey.
That's so amazing.
He passed away. The monkey's really depressed and upset. And we move. And the monkey really liked the old house. So now he's depressed and he feels displaced. The new house, it doesn't feel like his house. So he starts acting out. And the way he would act out is there's this long hallway. And then it like turned to a shorter hallway that went into the living room. And in the shorter hallway, there was like a big armoire dresser that was like too big for the room, but my mom couldn't get rid of it. So it was just in there and the monkey would hide on top of it and he would shit in his hand. And when my mom would walk by, he would throw it at her.
Classic monkey move, dude.
Smack, and then go. And my mom would be, his name was Ori. And she'd be like, God damn it, Ori. And I would hear this in my room and start laughing.
Yeah,
and then
hilarious.
She'd cuss me out. The next day she'd go out. And he'd just be sitting there with his little monkey thing in his hands. And she'd walk by and he'd pee on her. And it's like amazing. On her head. And just, ah, 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 I'd hear that once he started doing that, I knew he did something like that. And I would just start dying laughing as a little kid would, you know, pee and poop. Yeah. The funniest thing ever.
It's still funny to us.
So you're not lying. My mom ended up giving him to the zoo, to the LA zoo. She got rid of his ass.
Because I'm not. So, yeah,
she's like, yo, you're going to boarding school. I'm done with your punk ass. And I remember she used to take me to the zoo when I was, and I'd be like, do you think Ori's here? And she'd be like, he's probably dead. Like, she hated Ori so much, man.
Well, yeah, he's a depressed little monkey dealing with all this trauma. And then he's like, you know, for fun, he's pissing and shitting on your mom, and she don't like that. So I get it.
She didn't like that one bit. Two quick things. I have two bests of the week, Jeff. My first was Darby Allin versus Samoa Joe.
That was amazing.
I love Joe. I know you're not the biggest Joe fan, but I knew you were going to say that because this was the kind of big man, like straw man fight that you would like, where the smaller guy is getting bent like a pretzel, beaten to all hell, has these couple of epic comebacks only to just be damn near killed again and again and again and again. I know you love this match. Tell me, Jeff.
It was, I genuinely was impressed from the beginning of the match to the end of the match. Though there's one spot where Samoa Joe throws Darby Allin over the top rope like he was trying to toss him onto a table that was set up diagonally on the against the where the fans sit, whatever that's called. And Darby was thrown with such force that he just missed the thing. I don't even know if they were trying to aim for that, but that's what we all thought as fans. And he just flings him over the top. It was amazing. Even the announcers were like, oh my gosh. Like, it looked reckless, but it was so beautifully played. Samoa Joe's cut open, and it looked like a real cut, not like a, not like the planned spot.
Yeah, it looked like they just said, hey, we're going hard and we're going to hit each other. And if I bleed, I bleed.
And then that's when Darby revealed the, or like took the top of the canvas off, took the pads out and just went, tried to put Samoa through, but then Samoa Joe just took him top rope and slammed it. It was every part of the match was amazing.
Bro, the crowd was so hot for this, man. They were so hot for this. They love Darby, and they were still chanting, Joe's gonna kill you. And it was clear as a bell. But they love Darby. So AEW fans like something very different than WWE. So I think I'm starting to understand the reason for the division. I watch both. You watch both because we just love pro wrestling, and we know if there's even a chance to get a match that we love, we don't want to miss that. So that's why we watch. I'm sorry for speaking for you, but I'm paraphrasing both our philosophies. But this was the kind of match that AEW fans are like, thank you. This is what we wanted for 20 years from WWE, and they won't give it to us. So I'm starting to see it a little more clearly now, but I absolutely loved this match. I love having Joe as a heel for Wardlow, which was a nice little story. Yeah. Him coming back, right? Your new best friend who gave you a hug on your 40th birthday while you were infiltrating his personal cruise. I love how he acts disrespectful and how he doesn't care in his promos and even in the ring when he just like casually walks away when guys jump off the rope. He's like, yeah, it's stupid bitch, never going to get me. He's just awesome like that. So disrespectful. But yeah, this was my first favorite. And going to WWE, the Cody Rhodes and Paul Heyman promo, I thought at the beginning when it was just Cody, it was going to be rough because he's clearly sick. Like, he lost his voice. He was battling something. His energy wasn't where it's been in any of his other WWE promos. So he did the smart thing and he made it more internal, right? He brought everything more toward himself than projecting his energy outward. And then in comes Paul Heyman, because Cody's story is he's going to WrestleMania. And he's assuming that Roman Reigns is going to be the champion and he's going to take the belt away from this guy. And he's going to do it for his family. He's going to do it for himself. He's going to do it for the people. And out comes Paul Heyman to let him know that he is incorrect. And the people love Paul. They love to hate him. And you can see that Cody respects him, but doesn't trust him in the slightest. I thought both men did great in this, by the way. So Paul gets in the ring and he starts talking to him about everything, really, about the business. It's a very candid, kill him with kindness sort of promo from Heyman. And he does these really, really well. Even if you know where it's going, you don't know when he's going to get there. That's how good he still is at that. He's going in on Cody in a very polite way. They're talking about Cody's father, the great Dusty Rhodes. And he says, listen, I love your dad. I love him. And I spoke to him. The last conversation we had before he died, and he spoke to me about you. And he said that, you know, that you, Cody, were his favorite son. And you can see Cody's like really reactive through everything Paul's doing. And they even shot this a little differently too, which I thought was they took a risk. I don't know if it worked the way they wanted it to, but I actually liked it. I don't know if they'll try it again when I say I don't think it worked the way they wanted it to, but I hope they do, because I thought it was interesting. They moved the camera in real close, down low, up at an angle to like get in to these sort of intimate spaces with Cody and Paul that made it uncomfortable. So I like that, but Cody was very reactive, and Paul had to carry a lot of the weight in this. Cause I think Cody was sick under the weather. And so you see it hurt when he says the things that remind you, like, you're never going to be as good as your dad. And you see him have pride when he talks about how much Paul loves his father, Dusty. And he says, and then gets back to Paul saying, he told me that you were his favorite son, but Roman Reigns is the son he never had. And Cody just like uber sells it the way Shawn Michaels oversold for Hulk Hogan back in the day. And you really see it hurt. And then but instead of going big and getting physical with Paul Heyman, he brings it in and he like leans forward. And I'm like, I'm real close to the microphone right now. And he's like right in Paul Heyman's ear. And, the camera gets down low on like the left side of Cody's face and up real close. So it's looking up at him and his face is just, you know, the prominent thing in Paul's shoulder. And he basically gets back to the whole thing being personal. And he says, I'm going to take it personally. When I take those belts back, I'm going to take it personally. And I thought they did a great job with this. And it wasn't the typical kind of reactions you would see. And I don't think it was anything outside of Cody being under the weather, but damn, if it was planned, awesome. If that's where it needed to be because of his energy, awesome. But I love this. It was like watching really good acting on a TV show or in a movie, man. I thought it was great, and it got me excited, and it helps fill time and lets people get healthy for WrestleMania and the Elimination Chamber and all that. I know that was long-winded as all hell, but I loved this, Jeff. What about you?
I'm the ignorant wrestling fan in the way that I was like, is that, so do you think that they run those promos by each other before they go out? Like, hey, here's something I'm going to say.
100% yes.
Okay. Cause in my mind I'm going, ooh, this feels kind of icky when he said that, you know, it's like, cause Cody did do a good job of saying all these like really flattering things and they appeared to be true. Like, you know, we were broke and you were actually, you honored your word. You gave him a thing. You know, you took care of us when you needed to. Like, it looked like Paul Heyman was getting like teary eyed almost, like going like, oh, this is. So as a fan, I'm watching and going, oh, wow. Like, they are pulling back the curtain. It's not just another like promo. But when he said that part, I was like, Jesus, is that like, I mean, one, that's, that can't be true. And he said Roman's the, you know,
Of course it's not. No, of course so I'm just it's not. That's how thinking, good Paul Heyman is.
It was very, very good. But also there was a part that may not have been the main part of the promo that I really liked where he was going, listen, you're headlining WrestleMania. You're not just at WrestleMania this time. You're headlining WrestleMania for the first time. And to see if you'll buckle under the pressure, to see if you can handle it.
Smart.
Or to see if you'll have to live with the nightmare of getting this close and not winning WrestleMania. It almost felt like, and again, this is just whatever, but I felt like that's Cody even realizing, like, oh yeah, like I've never been to this spot before and like all this. But it was very, very good promo and very, very awesome. Also, it was tough before this to make me interested in Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for WrestleMania. So this helped me get a little more into it.
So that's an interesting take right there, Jeff, because I think you're spot on, man. And this is the genius of Paul Heyman with a promo. That's why he's the best promo in wrestling. I mean, MJF has some of the best ones of the year, but Paul is just at a whole different level. It's like making a deal with the devil every time he speaks to a wrestler. And he's going to test your morality, right, as a babyface. Because right. You're always going to be a babyface if you're in the ring with Paul Heyman. So it's always going to be like, because in the Bible it said, God doesn't tempt you, only the devil does, right? God would never right. test your faith, only the devil would test your faith. And that's what Paul Heyman represents in every single storyline he's a part of. It's, hey, here's a little taste. And if I don't get you with vanity, right? Because that's a lot of professional wrestlers' weakest sin, then I'm going to come at you with doubt, right? And I'll sprinkle doubt on you. Like, are you big enough for that moment? Are you this? Are you that? But there was an interesting moment in that promo where Cody was almost like nodding along.
Sure.
And it made me think like, this could be the moment they go back to if Cody turns heel too soon and they say, or we think it's too soon anyway. And they say, no, this was the moment. And he teams with Paul Heyman. And that would be the moment. Because Paul, that's how seductive Paul is, right? That it's all of a sudden, if Cody loses that WrestleMania match, then it's one of those things where I couldn't do it without Paul. He was right. I'm going to go to him now and I'm going to throw my morality out the door, make the deal with the devil and get what I want. And that's who Paul is. That's like, now I'm not saying that's what they're going to do. I'm not saying that's what they should do, but there was even a moment there where Cody was agreeing with Paul and you were like, no, dude, like stop listening to what he's saying. You can do it, bro. So yeah, I think that was actually the most powerful part of the promo was that little sprinkling of doubt that Heyman always layers in there. He's just a stud.
He's so good. He went from Brock Lesnar to Roman Reigns like overnight and none of us even needed to adjust. We're like, yep, he's with him and now. Like, he was just so smooth.
He's so different with Reigns than he was with Brock. Like,
yeah.
He legit is like, oh, my tribal chief. Like, he overcommits, you know? Like,
it's amazing.
It's crazy, dude. I love him. He does a great job. Just a great job. Jeff, were there any worst of the week for you? Is there anything else you want to throw in there? Anybody you want to call out for next year's Jericho Cruise in the ring? What do you want to do?
I would like to call out Eddie Kingston, you know?
You're so stupid, bro. He's going to kill you.
No, dude, I'm a giant. I'm 6'4", dude. Bro, he's gonna beat me up.
Punch you right in the head, bro.
Yep, he's going to beat me up a bunch. And then Wardlow's going to come out and save my ass. And so I'm not too worried about it.
You better hope, man. Are you going to be anywhere this weekend or are you recovering from your death cruise?
I am actually going to be in Arizona on the 9th and the 10th, and then I go to Chicago on the 11th, and on Valentine's Day, I'm in Milwaukee at the Improv.
Everybody, thank you for listening today. We will be here next week with more wrestling awesomeness. I thank my co-host, the best one ever, Mr. Jeff Dye. I'm Freddie Prinze Jr. Thanks for listening to Wrestling with Freddie or Friends. Peace.
Follow us on Instagram, Wrestling with Freddy. Twitter is WWFreddyPod. Follow us on all the socials so you can submit your questions for the Federation.
This has been a production of iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
We are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.